Hello, everybody. I'm Phil Margavichus, and welcome to another episode of the Project MedTech Podcast. If you need anything from us or would like to suggest a future guest, you can email us at info@projectmedtech.com. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. For more information on Project MedTech and to sign up for our monthly newsletter, visit our website at www.projectmedtech.com and follow us on LinkedIn. If you are enjoying this content, don't forget to check out our other podcasts by searching Funding MedTech on your favorite podcast platform or by heading to our website. Funding MedTech is an interview-style podcast focused on exploring ways to fund MedTech innovation and will be released weekly on Wednesdays. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Sleeman & Lund. Sleeman & Lund is a leading intellectual property boutique specializing in medical devices. They become a trusted partner for inventors, startups, and industry giants alike. Founded by seasoned attorneys with decades of experience, Sleeman & Lund combines experience with innovation. When it comes to protecting your groundbreaking medical device inventions, Sleeman & Lund stands at the forefront, offering expert legal counsel and strategic guidance that can make all the difference. Whether you're a passionate inventor with a game-changing idea or a company seeking to safeguard your innovations, Sleeman & Lund has the expertise and experience you need to navigate the complex world of medical device patents. In this episode, Angelica Maestas at Healthcare RX and Dwayne Mancini discuss her time in the medtech space, health economics and reimbursement, her obsession with data analytics, taking a company through an exit, her passion for ending health inequities, and so much more.
Medical innovation starts with medical discussion, talking about the future and what comes next with Project MedTech.
Okay, Angelica, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So maybe a introduction into who you are, your background, what you do, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Angelica Maestas, CEO and founder of HealthTech RX. We provide advisory support to health tech startups who have technologies that are looking to advance health equity. My background has always been in healthcare and health tech. I had a healthcare analytics startup back in 2017 that was later acquired by a software development company in 2021. Went to work for the acquiring company for a few years and then jumped back into entrepreneurship last year. Really, it's where my heart is at. And so I'm very excited to be back in this seat.
Ah, very cool. So do you have a, like, I guess, you know, what's your education in? And then also, you know, how did you even originally get into that health tech space? Was it always a passion? Why health tech, right?
Yeah, I actually just had a conversation with a third year undergrad student yesterday, and she asked me the same question. And the answer is no, I did not always know that I would end up down this road. So my undergrad was in finance. And I chose that degree because of the safety and stability that I felt a career in that realm would provide me. My upbringing led me to always want stability because I never had it as a child. And so once I was an adult and was planning for my future and the future of my family, I never even thought of entrepreneurship. It was all about I need a steady paycheck and benefits and all of those things. So that undergrad got me working for a CPA firm, and I did that for 4 years, and it was a very miserable existence, but I needed work experience. And so when I was there, I said, you know what, I'll do this for 2 years just to get something on my resume. Did it for 2 years and then was promoted. And I thought, well, this also looks good on my resume, so I'll just do it for 2 more years. And did that for another 2 years. There ended up being a ton of government budget cuts that the CPA firm was dependent on. And so overnight, our office was closed. And I was the only one who left that day grinning ear to ear with my severance package in hand. And I was just so excited for whatever was next. And what ended up being next was an analyst role at Blue Cross Blue Shield. And that is where I fell in love with healthcare data, with population health, with really being able to support underserved communities. We did a lot on the Medicaid population. And yeah, that's kind of how I fell into healthcare. Worked on the payer and the provider side, just so I could learn everything about the healthcare ecosystem. It was just fascinating to me. So complex, so many stakeholders, so much opportunity for innovation, but so many challenges to get there when you're in the system itself. And so in 2017, I just grew a little bit frustrated with working within healthcare. And I said, you know what, I'm going to start this thing on my own and see where it takes me. And my business partner at the time happened to be my manager, and I gave her a heads up and she thought I was crazy, but eventually she took that leap with me and we co-founded our analytics shop.
Very cool. So your time, well, first of all, I guess the CPA piece is funny because our one of the co-founders of Project MedTech and CFO, he always says he's a recovering CPA. he no longer holds the registration anymore, but it's just funny to hear him talk about that. And you know, like he'll say that a lot, and the only time it gets a laugh is when there is a fellow finance person on the other line. So it's always funny. Tell me about the time with Blue Cross Blue Shield. I guess even more. I mean, you know, you kind of touched on it a little bit about the complexities of the healthcare system and payers and providers, and you know, I guess. Can you give us some insight into what it was like looking at that data, what kind of data you were getting to look at? Because I think this is like a interesting space for startups to understand when they think about this is how those companies are looking at data, how they're looking at clinical evidence, how they're looking at evidence in general, and maybe kind of giving us a little sneak peek of what kind of data you were looking at.
Yeah, of course. So since I was on the payer side at the time, it was pure claims data. That's what we had to work with. And claims data can be very telling for a population because, you know, unlike the provider side, you're limited to seeing the data if they went and received care within your system, the patient. And so on the payer side, we have the benefit of knowing where the member goes regardless of the provider that they're seeing. And so we get to see a more complete picture of their healthcare history and also their outcomes. And so I really fell in love with the technical side of this role in analytics. And that was where I first started programming. So I learned SAS. There were some analytic tools available, but we were primarily pulling the data ourselves and looking at it, slicing and dicing it in different ways. And for me, that was exciting. And it was a way to be more exploratory with data. And some of the data that we looked at in terms of outcomes were, you know, are patients having higher volume of readmits within 90 days after seeing, you know, after going to a certain type of facility. And we're looking at the care that happened to them prior to this event. Were they, you know, seeing their provider on a regular basis, their PCP, medication adherence, all of these things that could help paint the picture of what their at least medical health is. You know, social determinants of health is a whole other thing, and we recognize that that impacts populations and their ability to receive equitable care as well as improved outcomes. So we were at least able to see a little bit more of that picture. And that was always very, it was always very telling. And even in spite of having a robust picture, there were still a lot of gaps because of SDOH.
Yeah. So one of the other pieces too, that I'd like to get your opinion or feedback on, we've heard at our Houston Startup Symposium, we had a reimbursement panel and we had a guy by the name of Nick Anderson on the panel. And he is a health economist for Boston Scientific, but he's also a consultant on the side in terms of reimbursement and working with early stage companies just on, you know, kind of figuring some of those things out. And the one thing he said, he used to be at Intermountain Healthcare. That was like his, that's where he cut his teeth into the payer side of things. And one of the things he said was, you know, there's this constant like almost battle over who the patient belongs to. You know, his point was physicians clearly think it's their patient. Hospitals think it's their patient. And he said, but in reality, it's my patient as a insurance company. And so that was his point. But I'm curious from your interactions in the health tech space, you know, I'm curious on your take on that comment, I guess.
So that's what we call attribution. And who do you attribute the actual patient to? And health plans, you know, because they have a bigger picture of how their members are behaving, you know, what their patterns of care are, where the gaps are. They are, what I'm seeing and what I have seen over the last 10 years is that because of value-based care, they are becoming more involved on that patient's journey. But when it comes to deciding, you know, is it the PCP that the patient signed up for when they signed up for insurance and then they haven't seen for 5 years? Is it fair to attribute their poor outcomes to this provider and potentially ding them? No, really, it should be based on the providers that they're actually seeing, and only the data can tell us that. But with value-based care, it's not new. And one of my mentors, you know, he always said, you know, this is value-based care. We've been talking about this for 30 years. It's not new. And that's true. But this is the first time in U.S. health history where it's finally getting traction. And you're seeing providers and payers recognizing that it's, you know, fee for service is starting to go away. I can't wait till it's completely gone. Mm-hmm. But right now we have to use the data to tell us what is really going on with the patient. And, you know, there's a level of accountability involved now.
Yeah, that's great insight. So you leave that that group, and that's when you founded the company's name was
It was Versatile Med Analytics.
Versatile Med Analytics. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Yep. And so my healthcare journey continued before I founded VMA, as we ended up calling it.
Okay.
And that's because I recognized that there was a huge gap. You know, as much as I love data and analytics, you can't ignore the clinical side of the patient's journey. And so working at Blue Cross Blue Shield, I only had experience working with claims data. So I took a medical economics position over at Presbyterian, a delivery system, and I ended up working at the enterprise level. And so my role, I was able to work with the claims and the clinical data, which at that time only, you know, a select few were able to have that privilege. And so it was learning to mine the data out of EMRs, understanding the challenges with that, and how wrong a story can be just based on how you pull the data. And so that was part of learning more about the healthcare ecosystem, as well as seeing the different touch points that the patient has going through the system.
So before you founded, you called a VMA, then there was one more step, correct? Before that as well? Okay.
Yep. And then my last step before founding VMA is I was recruited by a health plan to help them stand up their analytics shop. And so by the time I had left Presbyterian, I already had in my mind that, hey, there was more that could be done, and that it would be a lot easier to accomplish if I was on the outside as the vendor versus internally. And so I, you know, accepted the role to build the analytics team. And a year later, I resigned and I started VMA with my co-founder and best friend.
Cool. So, all right. So VMA, so exactly what did you do there? And I guess, can you dive into a little bit of like identifying the problem? Okay, I have a solution. Like, walk me a little bit through this, because this is always fascinating. We'll get into the health tech RX stuff as well, and your podcast, which we can't forget to mention as well. But I think, you know, for entrepreneurs who are listening in, to understand a little bit of those, that early process, and kind of just maybe telling a little bit of that entrepreneurial spirit, because in, you know, in 4 years, right, you went from, I guess probably a little under 4 years, you went from identifying the problem, starting the company, and then going through a successful exit. And so, you know, I think maybe sharing some of those stories would be helpful.
Yeah. So part of the problem, and I saw it working within the large healthcare systems, and part of my frustration is that we could spend $2 or $3 million on an analytic tool without having thoroughly vetted it. And, you know, the vendor promised all of these things that it could do. And 5 years later, the implementation team was still working to get to all of the promises that were made by the vendor and the solution. And so eventually it became shelfware. And there's enough waste in the system to be dropping millions upon millions on all of these tools that promise everything and deliver very little at the end of the day. So I won't specifically say the tools. But that was part of my frustration, but also where I saw some opportunity. So part of how I excelled in the roles that I had at the various healthcare organizations is leadership always came to me for insights versus what a lot of in-house analytics teams and tools provide is more of the static reports. It's, you know, which is fine. It tells you something about what's occurred, but it doesn't tell you anything early enough to be able to intervene. So the opportunity and where I saw that I excelled was in the insights versus the static output, which a lot of teams were being trained to do. And that's because a lot of the tools provided those kind of pre-canned solutions. And what I also saw was that there was such a high volume of data requests that there was this huge backlog. It would take forever for anyone to finally get what they needed. And there was there wasn't a whole lot of consultation going involved when the customer, as we called them, or the person with inside the payer or the provider requested data. People would just produce it, but there was no follow-up as to why they were asking for that data, because a lot of times they don't really know the data to ask for. And so it requires a conversation and really getting to understand what is it that they're trying to learn from this data and what decisions are they trying to make from this data. And so what I recognized is that it was lots of layers of tickets, and a huge backlog and never enough people to do the work. And so analytics wasn't really insightful and it was very hard to get. And so at that point I said, you know, initially I wanted to take analytics directly to providers. And I thought, well, they have the most ability to make impact if they have this valuable data that they can use to help them inform their care plans. And that ended up not being the road to go on because providers are already incredibly overwhelmed. And
a little bit of a pivot there.
It was, yes. It was, I'm one to pursue things that I'm passionate about. And I thought, oh, I want to help the providers. Yeah. Well, the providers don't have time for me.
So, gotcha.
So I learned that pretty quickly when we went into business. But the ability to be versatile and agile and being able to provide analytics to the clients we served. And we served payers, delivery systems, provider associations, but it wasn't the primary care providers that I thought, you know, I'd be able to impact. They wanted none of it.
Okay. So while you're there, walk me through that transition a little bit, because this is a space where I think it is like a startups struggle, and they should struggle, because I'm not sure there's a right answer here of like, when, as an entrepreneur, you entrepreneurs are generally, I would say, the most persistent people that I've ever met. That's a good thing, and it could also be a bad thing, right? In the case of like, when do you know when to say, hey, this might not be the right customer segment, but this could be, because there's like this, like, I don't think there's a right answer, because I think some of it's like, did you try hard enough? Or did you give up too easily? And it's just like, that is a founder's dilemma.
I mean, to your point, founders are persistent, and they can be like a dog with a bone, which sometimes you have to be, and sometimes you can't take no for an answer, and you keep moving on. But you have to at some point collect some data points along that journey to tell you, oh, okay, no, we should just pivot a little bit here, but maybe they need this. And what was most telling for me is how easy it was to sell our offering to everyone else but the providers. Our first client was Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Wow. Okay. That's full circle.
Yeah, it was full circle. It was very interesting turn of events. That first client meeting was, I took it from a Starbucks parking lot. It just happened very quickly, and it was just off to the races, but it was so quick. You know, we're talking a couple of weeks and we had a signed contract, which in healthcare, I mean, that's not always the case.
That doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. And we thought, oh, okay, well, that was a fluke. We just, we got lucky, they knew of our reputation because it was, in our community. We had, my co-founder and I had both worked there previously. So we thought, okay, it's not always going to be that easy. Well, then we got another health plan. And again, it was easy. And there was we did not have to beat our heads against the wall to convince them of our value. We had the first pitch meetings. We looked to what problems they were trying to solve or answers they were trying to get. A lot of it was on what's the root cause of some of these very high cost drivers. And in spite of having a fleet of analysts in-house, those answers weren't easy for them to get to because they couldn't be as agile.
Mm-hmm. No, it makes total sense. So as you go through, you start to acquire some customers. Tell me about like the growth phase of the company through like the exit piece and how those conversations materialized and maybe even, again, it's like, I think that there's a few things within a med tech or any kind of health tech entrepreneurial journey, where, it's like the saying where it's like, if you've seen one, hospital system or one VAC committee, you've seen one VAC committee, right? There's similarities, but a lot of them are different. I think exit is a interesting one where it's like, there's certain templatized things, but how those come together are oftentimes very unique. So just curious on taking you through the scale process of the company, but then what that exit looked like and how those conversations transpired and things like that.
Yeah. So it started as my co-founder and I doing the business development, wearing all of the hats, legal, HR, payroll, all of those things, and doing the work. And my co-founder was doing more of that, and I was doing more of the running the business side of things, but they were taxing. And so then we started onboarding 1099s, and they provided project support. By the time we had gone through acquisition, our team was still small. We were six.
Gotcha.
But we had, enough revenue coming in. It was sustaining us. It was helping us grow, but it was not getting me to the level of impact that I initially wanted to have. And so I've always been driven by impact and this quest for it. And I wanted to build the right products for healthcare. I already knew all of the wrong ones, and I had, you know, personal experience using them, and I understood why they didn't work post-implementation. And so I wanted to directly build the products, not just provide the analysis. And along the way, along our journey, we had met this software development company, and they had the technical bench. They already had the fleet of data scientists, designers, developers. They did not have healthcare domain knowledge. And so they had been trying to get into healthcare. It had been their nut to crack for probably a good 4 years they were trying. And you can't build products for healthcare when you don't understand the business of healthcare. And that is where our coming together made a lot of sense. Our team knows healthcare inside and out, and their team had the technical bench to be able to build the products that we wanted to design and that we wanted to implement. And so that's how that came together.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think that's great insight too, because I think a lot of times, you know, companies will look at an exit in terms of, oh, this is where, you know, this is how I exit the company and then I'm done with it, rather than looking at it as like truly as like a, oh, if I do this, this helps this dream or my impact increase, because now it's more of like a partnership, right? Rather than, you know, it's like a true acquisition. So I think that's really interesting feedback. So you stayed there for a couple of years, and then that's when you kind of jump back into entrepreneurship again, right? With HealthTech RX.
Yeah. It turns out that entrepreneurship ruined me for employment. I just cannot go back to it. And, you know, having done it for two years going to work for the acquiring company, I valued the experience. Mm-hmm. I learned that it was just not for me.
Yeah.
And part of the genesis why I wanted to create HealthTech RX is I continue to get to live out my why. My why has always been my North Star and my driver in my career. And it's been supporting underserved communities. And like I mentioned, doing a lot of work with Medicaid populations, those beneficiaries, understanding that there are a lot of other factors that are negatively impacting their abilities to receive equitable access to care. And having grown up in very rough parts of Stockton, California, I know firsthand what homelessness and violence does to these communities and how it impacts their abilities to receive care. And so I said, okay, I won't ever stop doing that, but maybe my path to do that will be a little bit different. I won't be the one directly building products for healthcare, at least for a while, but I can leverage still pursuing my why, but also leveraging the experience of an operator. And so that's my new skill set and my strength. And I grew in ways that, you know, I hadn't anticipated. And so the goal is to really to help other health tech founders on their journey, specifically with technologies that support my why and our organization's why.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So I think I've talked about this in previous episodes with a few other folks about your personal North Star. And if you have that, that'll give you longevity in a career, because, you know, if you lose track of that, it could become a problem for you quickly, or you could get stuck in like a career purgatory almost, if you will, right? You just don't really go anywhere because you're trying to find that mission almost, right? So I think that's fantastic that you've kind of held on to that. I have a very, like my North, it's not a similar North Star to yours, but my North Star has been like, I just want to come out with interesting technology that saves people's lives. That's it. Mm-hmm. Right. And so as long as I'm contributing to that, then I feel really good about what I'm doing. So what exactly does, HealthTech RX do? Give me a little bit of background there.
Sure. So, depending on where the health tech founder is on their journey, we get a lot of outreach from founders who have not had the benefit of spending their careers in healthcare like our team has. And so, a lot of it is programming education around the very complex ecosystem that healthcare is, explaining who all of its stakeholders are, where their products do and don't belong, and how to get in front of those audiences. And so that's kind of one flavor of offering for the health tech founder who is familiar with this space, but maybe is more the clinical founder or the technical founder and needs advisory support in terms of business development or commercialization strategy. We provide that advisory offering. And then we also provide C-suite fractional support as well.
Very cool. Oh, keep going. Keep going. Sorry.
Well, and we're also, it'll be about 4 weeks away from a press release, but we're going to be putting together innovation challenges. So we're looking for delivery systems and payers to participate in piloting new technologies. And so we have a partner from another state that's been doing this for 6 years. And so we're going to do an announcement there, but that will be one way for us to provide some support to health tech founders.
Yeah, very cool. And then I guess, what kind of, what does that engagement model look like? Are you kind of set up formally like an accelerator? Are you formally set up more like a consulting firm?
So we have done a virtual accelerator. Heavy, heavy lift. We think we'll probably do one per year. It was a 4 week virtual intensive, essentially. Really great feedback and still response to have another one for folks that the founders wanted to refer to. But it is, you know this, it's a lot of work. It's intense.
It's a big lift.
And so the engagement, we do retainer-based support, open to equity stakes depending on the startup, but right now most of our startups have had some degree of funding so that they can pay for our services.
Great. Awesome. And in terms of if people want to get in touch with you about Health Tech RX, what is the website? Because this is an audio only podcast. What is
Yes.
the website? Yeah.
It's htrx.io.
Super straightforward. Awesome. And there'll be a link to this in the show notes as well for those who are listening in. I do want to, before we wrap things up here, you also have a podcast. She's Ambitious AF, right? Which I appreciate. And that's actually the name of it. I'm not bleeping out the AF to for the podcast purposes. Tell me about that. When did you start that? Was that more recently than Health Tech RX or?
That was my summer. I started it this summer of 2023.
Very cool.
And
Oh, so we're like 8 months in. Oh,
Yes, and
very
it's been
cool.
a blast. Yeah.
Okay, and so yeah, give the listeners a little bit of a flavor of what that is, and we'll go from there.
So being the entrepreneur, I pursue passions, and one of my passions is supporting the entrepreneur because of how lonely of a journey it is. And in 2023, I had one, I always set an intention for the year, like what is it that I want to have an impact on? And for 2023, I said, I want to have a positive impact on the lives of women. And I hadn't figured out what that would be. And I thought, I went back and forth about maybe monthly meetups. A lot of women in my network and friends come to me for advice, whether it's the business and how to run it, or whether it's, career challenges, things like that. And so I thought, I want to be able to provide that advice to a broad audience. And I especially wanted to do it because I wish I would have had it when I had started my journey. I made a lot of probably costly mistakes, things I can't get back, time I can't get back that was wasted. And so I really wanted to share that kind of information with other women. I firmly believe that entrepreneurship is the most vulnerable human experience that anyone can voluntarily sign up for. And my goal with She's Ambitious AF is to have guests on who speak very openly about the challenges of entrepreneurship, provide tips and strategies for navigating some of those challenges, and provide stories of inspiration so that we can celebrate the wins. And so we're always looking for badass female entrepreneurs to be guests. So if you know any, please reach out.
Yeah, that's great. And in terms of, well, first of all, I think that's amazing. And to your point about entrepreneurship being the most vulnerable thing someone can willingly sign up for, that is 100% correct. Boy, there's so much there to talk about, actually. that's a whole nother episode. So She's Ambitious AF can be found anywhere podcasts will listen to. Or...
we're on Spotify. Eventually we'll get on Apple Podcasts once I get my act together.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. So it's on Spotify right now. And eventually on Apple. Well, great. Angelica, I don't have anything else. Is there anything else in closing that you want to leave the listeners with, or anything we didn't touch on that you think, you know, is an important piece of your kind of journey and story?
You know, health tech, med tech, they're all very interesting paths, and there are some intersections. And so I encourage listeners, if they're thinking about going down this path as an entrepreneur, to have a lot of conversations with people from different spaces, not just med tech or not just digital health, but all of them. And it'll be very telling and help you on that journey.
That's a great point. And also too, I think it's important for people when you talk to someone to make sure they identify their definition of some of these areas. Cause I know like for us, for med tech is encompassing of medical devices, diagnostic, digital health, health IT, wearable, yeah, software, drug delivery systems. We kind of throw all of that into one bucket. But I could tell you that there are people who will define very strict definitions of med tech, biotech, health tech. Like they separate all those things out. So to your point, that's a good idea. And also, yeah, you know, talk to people about, you know, those different opportunities, because they are all a little different, while similar, a little different. And so that's a really good point. Yeah. Awesome. All right, Angelica, well, I appreciate you hopping on the podcast today. Stay tuned. Stay on the line. We'll chat offline really quick here. Angelica's LinkedIn, along with HealthTechRX's website, will be in the show notes. So up or down an inch, depending on the platform you're listening into. And thanks again for your time, Angelica.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you need anything from us, you can contact us at info@projectmedtech.com. And for more information on Project MedTech, visit our website at www.projectmedtech.com. Thanks for listening and have a great day.